Hello, everyone. Come on in. How are we doing tonight? Y'all, some of y'all coming off the holiday today. It's like Monday, but it's Tuesday. So come on in. This is our monthly bench coaching call. Hello, Miss Sue. Welcome. Good to see you here. Along with everybody else. All right, I was having kind of a little hair emergency before I got here, but it's all good. It's all good. It's still growing out, so it's always an adventure. Anyway, all right. Well, this is my favorite time of the month, y'all. You didn't get the reminder email. Okay, Kim, I'll look into that. Did anybody else get it or not get it? We always want to know, make sure. Okay. I'll look into it. And be sure you're opting in to get the emails, but email support about that, because y'all, I am not an expert on all the behind the scenes stuff with getting the emails, but I don't know, we might have a small group today, and that's okay. That's okay. So, yeah, you get the you can get certain emails and get get other ones. So, but just email support if you have any questions about that, okay? Support at pnptribe.com. I'll actually put that, y'all know it's the little blue question mark on our website, and they can absolutely help you if you're not getting thank you. Oh, wait, that was me. So I was like, thank you to whoever put the email address in there, and it was me. Y'all, I'm still just kind of getting into it tonight. Speaking of, let me change my name and introduce myself. I am Coach Betsy, and I am your bench coach here at No BS. Is anybody, this is your first call here. This is your first bench coaching call. I'd love to hear about that. Or just see if any of you all are new, because we always have new members coming in all the time. And I just love that we have to have these calls every month. So the purpose of these calls, it is an open coaching call. So you can definitely, I would love to see you all raising your hand. Ooh, Salma, Salma. Oh, and you've raised your hand. Okay. Let's do some coaching here in a second. And Darlene, yeah, I know you've been around. So it's an open coaching call. So please raise your hand if you're interested in getting coached on binge eating, overeating. We don't, overthink things around here. Just, really on your relationship with food. Okay. So we can talk about anything related to that. And also, there's the Q&A box. So some of you all may want to just ask a question, or you may not quite be ready to raise your hand to get coaching, but you can ask a question and you can do it anonymously too. So that's an option. And then, of course, there's just the chat to chat in. And but if you have a specific question for me, please put it in the Q&A, okay? Because so just so I'm sure to see it. All right. So Salma, I want to say it was, I want to pronounce your name correctly. Let's just get started with you coaching, and then we'll go from there, okay? So hello, Miss Kim. Thank you. Yeah, I think this is definitely my favorite call of the month, just because I'm so passionate about helping you all with your binge eating, and this is really where we can learn and grow from each other, and just get support from each other, and open up maybe a little bit more. So, all right, let's do this. And again, y'all ask me any questions if you need anything else. Hello.
Hello, hi, Coach Betsy. How are you?
Yes, how are you? Good, good.
Good. Yeah, you are saying my name correctly, Salma.
Okay, Salma. Okay.
I wanted to do this binge coaching actually a while ago. So I joined since November 2025, but
Okay.
this is my first time attending the session live.
Yeah.
And I've been so ever since I've joined in November, I've been stuck in like the first 4 months or 5 months, I would say, with the same weight as I was like getting used to the new habits, the checking in and all that. And then as I started doing more of that, I've started to lose like so far I've lost 8 pounds over
Amazing.
the last over the last 2 months actually, that where
Oh,
I've seen the most like the first couple of months I was just stuck. So that's good, but then I've struggled with the binge coaching sorry, with the binge sessions throughout. Having like in the beginning they were a lot more, but it got better. Usually my trigger is fuck it eating, over and overeat. So
okay.
that's usually a trigger. Another challenge or trigger, or actually the past, like in the yesterday I think it was, I just had a binge where I was over the scale. I've been struggling with the scale lately. So my relationship with the scale, whenever I get on and I see that either I'm stuck or I've gained, it just makes me, I know it's irrational, but I feel like, oh, I'm gonna be stuck forever. I'm not actually gonna be able to lose this weight. And then it feels very heavy emotionally, and that's how I usually binge. And then when I do binge, I feel very bad that the scale result will be even worse for the week because of this binge. And then it's like, okay, then why am I doing any of this? And then I binge even more. So that's my main struggle, I would say, right
All
now.
right. So between the kind of like binging from an overeat or binging from the scale, which one do you want to talk about? Which one do you think kind of would make the biggest difference if we kind of figured it out or kind of you could
Yeah,
get some coaching?
I would say the scale, because the binging over and overeat, I've gotten better at that. So I think I have a strategy that I can try to keep practicing, but the scale is what's, yeah, I haven't figured it out.
Well, number one, we got to start with wins because, I am really big on just setting the foundation of how, we want to see what we're already winning at, right? We want to see what we're already doing well and what's really going well for this foundation so that you can build from there, right? To keep on moving forward. So let me ask you before I just kind of, because I see a lot of wins here already, but what wins do you see with this pattern that you've noticed with the scale and binging?
Okay, so I mean, in terms of wins, you should know that I'm a type 1 diabetic. So I think the biggest reason I was stuck in the beginning, because I haven't figured out how to handle my blood sugar with the intuitive, like the hunger and
And
enough
enough.
eating. But once I figured that out and I started working out more to kind of help my blood sugars and decrease my insulin and all that, it helped. And then with the scale, once it start, I was like, I'm gonna focus on just doing what I need to do, and the scale will move if I don't give up. And it did move, and I've actually started weighing every day because I wanted to get used to it going up and down without being emotionally affected by it. So that was a win when it was working. Like, it worked for a while where I'm like, okay, I see the scale go up 1 or 2 days in a row, but then it comes back down and I'm fine. But now, recently, because it has been 2 weeks and I've been stuck in the same kind of 2 pounds, it's affecting me. So maybe the win is that there was a time where it didn't af like I didn't affect me for a while, but now it's affecting me again.
Well, and there's these wins, right? This is what I love to talk about with wins, that there are different kinds of wins, right? There are wins in terms of your action wins, where you are doing the things, right? That are leading you to lose weight, you're binging less. Those are all action wins, right? But there's also awareness wins, right? Wins where you realize, oh, okay, I have been weighing every day and it's been helping me kind of see the ups and downs. And now I'm aware that I'm having some different thoughts about it. And that is sometimes leading to a binge, right? And so you have all of this awareness of what's going on. And then the other type of win is compassion wins, where you have more understanding and compassion for yourself when you do binge or just make a mistake or things like that. So we got all kinds of wins here, but the biggest one I see is this awareness for you of, okay, I know what's going on when I binge and I'm having all these thoughts about the scale and my relationship with it. So here's where I want to start. What if you just took, because sometimes a very simple solution can help you here. What if you just took a break from weighing every day and you just started weighing a little bit less often for a
Yeah,
while?
I used to do that in the beginning. I used to only weigh in on Fridays, but the scale hasn't moved in the beginning. So I was like, no, okay, I need to. So the other thing is, even if I'm not weighing in every day, I'm still thinking about it every day. So if I overeat on a day, it's hard to just let it go because I feel, okay, this will probably make me not lose weight this week. I know it's irrational, but I still think about it. So when I wake up the next day and I weigh in and I haven't actually gained, or it's the same, or I'm losing a little, it helps me relax that, okay, this overeat didn't make me gain. I know it's not a healthy relationship, I'm sure.
Well, but I want to kind of go with that, right? With you already, once again, another win, right? You have this awareness of, okay, these thoughts I'm having are not true, right? They're not rational. They're not, and we have irrational thoughts all the time, right? You're certainly, that's totally normal, right? But for you, it's like, okay, you're recognizing already that these thoughts are irrational. And now, what do you want to tell yourself after that, right? Sometimes we talk about like ping pong, right? It's like the irrational thought is one, hit of the ping pong, right? What do you want to tell yourself next to kind of have the ball come back to you where it's like, okay, that's irrational. That's not, the relationship I want with this scale. What do you want to tell yourself after that that could maybe help to calm you down, just like that, weighing can calm you down, but what could you tell yourself to calm you down? And that can
I
help you
could
if you're not sure.
yeah, what I did in the past that worked is remind myself of something tangible that, I've overeaten before, but I've still lost weight. So that's like data and tangible evidence that this one overeat wouldn't probably ruin the whole week. But then, I mean, sometimes that works, but sometimes the feeling is so overpowering and it's just hard to rationalize. And especially if I've had multiple overeats in the week, I'm like, okay, one or two could pass, but if it's more than that, I'm probably gonna gain.
Well, we've got one tool in our toolbox, right? I like to think like, okay, if you come back with a more rational thought, sometimes that can work for you, right? Where it's like, okay, but I still could lose weight this week, right? It's not just a fact that I'm not going to lose weight. So let's keep that tool in your toolbox, but then let's come up with another tool because, that's not going to work every single time. Right. And like, let's say you've had a few overeats already during the week and you have another overeat. Right. And what could help you there to maybe still, dial it back in, right? And not just go into fucking mode.
The only idea that comes to mind is that I like attack it again with irrational thoughts and be like, so what? Even if I gain this week, I could still not make it worse and like lose the next week by not making this week worse. But then I'm my feeling about it is that, but I've wasted another week, and like I get hung up on that. Like, well, now I've wasted 1 week or 2 weeks in a row, and like I'm still haven't lost weight, and I have this pressure on myself a little that I need to lose weight
You're
this
in such a
year.
hurry, right?
Yeah,
You're in such a hurry. And anytime, y'all, we are in a hurry, I was actually coaching a private client on this the other day. Anytime we are trying to rush or in a hurry or we just want this to happen already, we gotta look at why. What is so like hard about where we are right now that we want to get out of it and change it so quickly?
Okay. To be completely honest, it's so in July, in 2 months, I'm gonna be turning 30. And like throughout all my 20s, I was telling myself this year is gonna be the year I'm gonna enjoy my 20s and gonna feel, like thin and pretty and I can wear whatever I want and all that. So I feel like, okay, I don't want to hit 30 before feeling like I've done that, like done a little bit of that at least for myself. And also, like another maybe deeper reason is that I feel that I'm not really comfortable or feeling that I'm attractive enough. And I feel like, if that's something that's been maybe holding me back in the like dating world and that. And I don't feel comfortable in my own skin. So I feel like I want to, yeah.
Okay. So we've got a couple of things here. And I know I'm kind of, moving around to different things, but we're kind of getting to where we need to go. Okay. So, first I want to talk about the like the after you've had a few overeats, I want to kind of finish that out where it's like another tool. Sometimes how we talk about like just because I mean if you got a flat tire, right, you wouldn't go around and slash the other tires. And so you can kind of think of about that with this overeating too, right? Where it's like, okay, even if you have had a few overeats, right, there's always room to save the week, right? Or to save the day in terms of like we just have to recognize when we go into this all or nothing kind of thinking, right? And so the best tool for maybe after there have been a few overeats and you are like, just wanting to kind of screw the rest of the week is what we call pause plus permission, where it's like it gives you, when you practice pausing, you can kind of move into that more rational place, right? Of like, okay, yeah, I have had a few overeats and I may not lose weight this week, but I don't want to make it worse than it, make it even worse, right? And so that's kind of, and then the permission part is, okay, I can still eat if I want to, but I've given myself a time to pause and to really be able to kind of bring in some rational thinking right there. Okay. So we've got a few, kind of tools, but we're really kind of getting more to the heart of the matter, right? With kind of why you're in such a hurry and kind of what you think weight loss is going to give you, right? And I've got a few things for you. So you're turning 30 this year, right? But here's the thing. I want you to think about, like, I mean, you could turn 30 tomorrow and look at all that you have already accomplished this year. Look, you have, I mean, I'm just thinking about your journey in no BS, just that. You joined in November and I mean, it does take a little bit of time to figure all this out, right? And to get weight loss going sometimes. It doesn't happen right away. You have stayed with it. A lot of other people don't, are gone, long gone. And you have stayed with it and you have figured it out and you have now lost 8 pounds. You stayed with it long enough. That is what you wanted for your 30th birthday, right? Was to figure this out and to stay with yourself and to stay with something and keep this commitment that long. So it may not be the picture that you had for, your 30th birthday of whatever you wanted the scale to say. But we also just don't know what life is really going to look like. And so there are so many, there's so much to celebrate for your 30th birthday this year already. Okay, that's number one. But now I want us to also talk about kind of another gift you can give yourself for your 30th birthday is to really think about what leads you to feel more comfortable in your skin. Truly, what causes that? How does that happen? Because it's not a number on the scale. We think it is because we've been taught that, and we see that out in the world. We see all these happy people, happy skinny people, supposedly, right? But what truly makes you comfortable in your skin? And I think what we're really talking about here is loving yourself.
I'm not usually very harsh on myself. I'm not usually like self hating or self-critical too much, but it's just when it comes to the physical body, like I feel like, I have a great personality. I'm confident in a lot of ways, but just the I don't know. I've always been self-conscious about my body, I guess, because I've dealt with weight loss and failing at weight loss for so long, since I was very young. Since primary school. So it's just, I've never really had true confidence in that part. I don't know if it comes from not loving myself. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But here's the thing. You are losing weight now, right? You're not someone who is failing at weight loss anymore. If you just keep going, you will succeed at that. But again, I don't want you to depend on that to feel good about yourself, right? I mean, it's great to, weigh whatever you want to weigh, but that's not ultimately how you feel good about yourself, because we know there's a lot of unhappy people and people that don't feel good about themselves that are, 100 pounds or whatever, right? I have homework for you. Our self-love course. Okay. And there is, and some of you all here in the chat, or maybe listening on the replay, I've been giving that out more on in Ask Coaches. And it's kind of like I hadn't, it's a course that's been around for a while, and of course, and then we did a camp on it. And so but there is a little quiz at the beginning of the course. I believe that it's still there. It's like one of the first, worksheets that you do. And it really is an eye-opener on how we feel about ourselves and the relationship that we have with ourselves. Okay. So I want you to just keep doing what you're doing, with, I mean, you're losing weight. You've lost, you said, is it 8 pounds or is 4 pounds?
It's 8 pounds in
It's eight
the
pounds.
last 2 months, but I've
Yeah.
been but it but because I'm stuck. I don't know, like the thoughts of, I will just gain it back. I will not really, especially since I've been stuck, is what is hard to rationalize.
And that is so common, right? At, when this starts working for us to, for the voices to be really loud that, oh, we can't do this because we've never done it, right? We're doing something so new and different. And so for you, the answer is yes, practice talking to yourself, rationally, right? We can do this. We've lost 8 pounds already. But here's the thing that I want you, we're just gonna keep going and doing the things that we know to do. That's it.
Okay, but like one last I mean, because that's the thing that like I it's hard for me to deal with. If like for example a week and I've had a couple of overeats and I know this week I'm not gonna lose weight, like I know.
Okay,
Like what
why are you
tools
going to
can I
keep going?
use?
Why are
Yeah, what
you going
to
to keep
yeah.
going?
What can I do to not ruin the week with a binge? Yeah.
Okay. So, do you want, let's fast forward to the end of the week, like when you're, standing on the scale or what, just when you're thinking about how you did this week. Fast forward to your future self. Are you going to feel better about just a couple of other overeats or a couple of overeats and a binge? This is where you got to think, okay, I can still save the week by just having a couple of overeats. And that is going to get me farther along than if I mean, just having another binge or having a binge, right? It's not going to help me here. I'm not going to slash the other tires, right, on the car. Just because I got a flat tire on one of them, I'm gonna go look at this flat tire and get it fixed, and then I'll be back on the road a lot quicker. But if I slash all the other tires, right, I'm not going anywhere.
No, of course, that makes a lot of sense, but in the moment, I'm just not thinking logically.
Well, I know. But here's the thing, we're talking about it right now outside of the moment. We're talking about it very logically outside of the moment, so that in the moment, you're more likely to hear something like, oh, yeah, like a little bit of more logic is likely to come in the moment now that we've talked about it outside of the moment. Okay. It's like there's, you may still eat, you may still binge. Okay. But this is where we have to see the smallest of wins and say, wait a minute, I heard something different. I heard Coach Betsy and something she said. I heard me saying something about, do I really want to slash all these other tires? Even if you still binge, that is a win because you even considered something different.
No, that makes
Right?
sense.
Yes. And so this is where you just got to trust me that you are a different person now after we have talked today. And then we also have recorded this. And so you can go back and listen to it again. Okay. And take notes. And, if you're confused about anything or want more help or anything, reach out and ask coaches. But also, this self-love course
All
could
right, yeah.
really be a game changer for you.
I'll definitely start it. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you
And
so much.
yes, and we have the binge support group in Facebook also. And y'all, there's kind of some crickets going on in there these days.
Oh, I didn't know
So
there's a Facebook group for that.
yes, let me post the link. Let me post the
Yes,
link. I've
please.
actually got it right here.
Yeah.
Do, do, do. And here's the thing. If any of you all want to join, I will watch for you. There we go. There's the link to it in the chat. I'll
Okay.
watch for you and let you in like as soon as I can. Okay. You don't have to wait. All right. All right.
Right, I'll jump now.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Coach
Okay.
Betsy, though. This is very helpful, and thank you everyone for the kind
Yes. Everybody's being so sweet. And I think it really was helpful for a lot of people. So, all right.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Okay. Katie has a good question in the chat, in the Q&A. When I binge, there's a little kid in me that is frantic, begging me not to take this thing away from me. Is this typical? Absolutely, Katie. When we binge, or when we have urges to binge, there are these parts of us inside, right? There are these, we could call them ourselves, or we could call them these different parts of us. And sometimes they are like a little kid. Sometimes they are like a little teen, like a kind of a sound like a bratty teenager. Sometimes they're maybe a version of us when we were in our 20s or 30s or something like that. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. And this is why really getting to know your urges to binge and what they sound like can be so helpful, because you can get to know that little kid in you, Katie, that little Katie. Okay. This is why sometimes we talk about keeping a picture of you handy. Here's little Betsy in her rubber boots in her backyard. I keep that picture on my desk because she's always hanging around. And you need to develop a relationship with her, with little Katie. Because here's what happens, right? Think about you moms, or you don't even have to be a mom. You know what's going on when a kid is frantic. What do? You don't sit down and like explain a lot of things to them. What do? You reassure them. You tell them, we're going to figure this out. It's going to be okay. You let them have a voice. Right? You say, okay, please tell me what's going on. What's wrong? Use your words. And yes, you soothe them, Maureen, right? You talk to them, you listen. That's just what they want. That's what little Katie wants. She just wants you to listen to her. And some of the best work we can do, and kind of a way that we can do that, this is through journaling. Specifically like guided journaling, in terms of you write a letter to little Katie, or little Katie writes a letter to you. And we've actually done some of this work at camp. I believe it may have been during the self-love camp that was so powerful, because we actually we were doing some inner child exploration. That's kind of what we're talking about here. And we actually wrote a letter to ourselves from our little selves. And we used our non-dominant hand, so it looked like different handwriting. Man, it gives me chills to think about how powerful that was. Because she is frantic for a reason. I want you to ask her, why are you so afraid? What do you think's going to happen if we don't eat this? What are you so afraid of? Tell me. Because what she's afraid of, you are still afraid of now. And we have to get that out and get aware of that. Okay. So this is where you really want to get to know that part of you. And you're already hearing her, right? You're already aware that it's this frantic voice, that she's saying, don't take this thing away from me, which is amazing awareness, right? If that's one of those awareness wins. And you really want to explore that more. Take your time with it, but really get to know what she's really afraid of. Okay. And you can always reach out and ask coaches for more help with this, for if you get stuck, if you just need any help with it. Okay. And also, by the way, y'all, I do have a few openings in private coaching, and this is the kind of thing that I work with a lot of my clients who binge on. And, in that one-on-one setting, we can really do a lot of deep work with that. Okay, and just really makes more sense of our binging. Katie said, I'm so glad that I got into journaling a few years ago. Okay, you will write to her. And I think it'd be really interesting too for her to write to you, right? And see, and we're just kind of, guessing, right, at what she might say. Okay. All right. Oh, here's my picture. Here's little Betsy. It's kind of a glare, and I'm trying to get it upright. Was I not just the cutest, y'all? I had this little bob, and it had like I had all these highlights, you know, like these blonde highlights in my hair, just natural from the sun, and I was a cutie patootie. So, all right. Darlene said, "You're so young and beautiful." Oh, so, just talking to Salma. Agree. The self-love course is great. Keep going. You're doing great. Y'all, this is when I feel called to say something. And I sometimes it, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I should say it. But it's something that I say often when I see so much love in the chat for no BS women who are getting coached. Y'all, I want y'all to look at the love in this chat for Salma. Please, please turn around or look in the mirror and give yourself 1% of that love. If you see all the love in this chat, you know that you are capable of supporting a total stranger, someone you have never met. You are capable. You have it inside of you. So please just turn that around on yourself if it's nothing more than 1%, y'all. I know we're not used to being kind and nice to ourselves a lot of the time. I know it feels weird, but anything worth doing probably feels weird at first. Okay? So just know you have it inside of you to be just as kind and loving and nice to yourself. Okay? And that a lot of times, that's why we're binging, because we're not doing that enough. Okay? We're not giving ourselves the breaks and the benefits of the doubt that we give other people. We're not giving ourselves, giving other people just the love, on a coaching call. We wear ourselves down. We keep that pressure on ourselves and all the weight of these expectations, and we just get so tired, y'all. I do it myself and I practice every day lightening that load just a little bit. Okay? Let's keep going and keep doing that. Okay? I'm here doing it and I want it for you all too, but we can only do it ourselves, right? It's an inside job. All right. We got a couple more folks. Let's see. We got Christine and then we got Miss Sue. So let's see. What you got, Christine? Let's see. I'll clear these out. All right. There you are. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Nervous. I've never been coached before.
Oh my gosh. Go you. Congrats.
Yeah.
You pulled the trigger.
I did. And once I did it, I was like, ah, why did I do that? But no, this will be good because I was a member for a while, a couple of years ago, and I really worked on, I feel like I've had a binging problem for a while. Probably since my teenage years, and never really quite understood it until I joined No BS and never really, did anything to work on it. And I did pretty good, like with the whole letting go of restriction. I think part of my problem was that black and white thinking, all or nothing, I'm gonna eat this whole bag of chips or whatever it was and then start fresh tomorrow. So,
Right, and then get it all out, right? And start over tomorrow.
I let a lot of that go, and I've been very good for a while. I ended up leaving No BS and then coming back about a year ago. I wasn't binging, but still, I would have my overeats. But I would say the past like 2, 3 weeks, it's been creeping back in and like really almost to like back to square one. And I'm not really understanding why I'm doing it. and
Okay.
maybe some steps to try and nip it in the bud before it gets, really crazy.
Well, I think number one is you talking about this. Number one, just go you, right? For getting on here and talking about your experience. But I think it's so important for us to see that this is what our kind of journey with binge eating can look like, right? Where it is times when we're maybe not binging at all or binging very rarely, and then other times when it is more often for some reason, and we'll explore that. And then, it's not a linear process, right? All the time. And, this is a coping mechanism, right? That we have, and it's, can be just a habit that can kind of come back, in different seasons of life, right? When different things in life are happening. So, having said that, kind of my question for you is, how could the binging coming back the last few weeks, do you have any guesses about how it could make sense, about how it you could kind of explain it?
Yeah, definitely. We're going to be moving. My youngest is graduating high school, so empty nesters for the first time between me and my husband. And we're moving to South Carolina, which is great. This is what we want to do, move south and kind of start a new chapter. If you ask me, I don't think it's stressful because, again, it's something we want to do. But I'm sure in the back, it plays into the whole empty nesters and the kids are all leaving and growing up and moving on. So I'm sure that's part of it as well, but
So there, it's like, okay, yes, two major life events, but it's so interesting, right? That we're like, well, this is, these are actually good things, right? My kids are kind of, moving forward with their lives, and and then yeah, you're doing this move, but this is again really good for us to kind of remind ourselves that binging doesn't just happen when bad things are happening to us, right? Binging can happen when we are when just things are changing, right? And what we make all of that mean, right? What we make all of that change mean. And I mean, even just one of these events happening is major, major change in your life. And that can kind of get your nervous system right out of home base, that feels it, any kind of change in your life can feel threatening, right? Can feel unsafe to you. And so and then you've got both of these things kind of happening at the same time. It makes total sense. And if there's just a little bit of discomfort or, out of, kind of your kind of window of tolerance or whatever we want to call it, right, with your nervous system, your brain's just gonna offer up, well, we benched before and we got to kind of just check out for a little bit and, just taste some tasty food for a while. And we could do that, even though we haven't done it in a while, we could. I mean, that this is when the urges that maybe we haven't felt in a long time can just come back, and they're just kind of, hanging out there in the habit brain, kind of dormant. But again, when this big change happens, and if we're even if we're not, like you said, kind of fully conscious of it, like you're not just totally stressed out, but there's kind of under the surface of, uncertainty, right, with how things are going to go, change, anything like that, and what we make that mean, then it can just make sense that the urges can come back. And then if we give in to just one of those urges to binge, the habit brain can be like, oh, okay, we're back to doing this again. So let's just keep throwing up these urges. And that's really how quickly the habit can come back. So after all that, I've talked a lot. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, I definitely understand that. It's, obviously it's frustrating because you're like, okay, well, it makes sense, but I guess before it didn't really make sense if you say it to yourself, like, well, this, you're really happy. So why are you doing these things? And it's almost like you're sabotaging yourself for no reason.
Sometimes the actually we have a course called self-sabotage in our membership, and it talks about the different indicators of self-sabotage and when we do it. And one of the most common ones is when things are going well.
Oh, okay.
Because, our brain is designed to look for problems, right? It's designed to kind of look out, like when things are going well, your brain's like, I don't know what to do. Like I'm not used to things being well, or things, going the way we want them to go. So that can be some of the most uncomfortable that we can be.
Yeah.
And we want to normalize that, right? Where it's like, instead of like, no, this shouldn't be happening, when things are going well, it can just feel so uncomfortable because, I mean, and then we start to think, well, are they going to keep going well, or is something, bad going to happen down the line? And so it's very normal. It's very normal. And so we just like have to kind of recognize what's going on and say, okay, things are going great. And if anything were to happen, I would figure that out too, right? If anything bad were to happen. But it's just really this change, right? It's just this change that is really making your binges make sense. And so when we can make sense of our binges, right, and we know kind of what's going on, that's when we can really open ourselves up to, oh, I see what's happening here. How else could I take care of myself right now? Right. Or just even saying, oh, this is just an urge to binge because I've got a lot going on, but I'll be okay, and moving on. But also exploring other ways to care for yourself during this time.
So, like in the moment, because even this afternoon, I was kind of in a little binge of just whatever was in the house and nothing even, made sense of why I was doing it. Is there some kind of pause? Like, I know, like, what's a good kind of, hey, what are you doing?
Yes, I'm going to talk about pause plus permission again because I
Okay.
think it's such a powerful tool, because especially with urges to binge, I mean, our brain can be like, oh, we're eating. Like,
Yeah.
it's not, I mean, we're not going to not eat. And so that permission piece is so important, where it's like, okay, we can absolutely eat here, and that can kind of calm your brain down a little bit to, take that pause first. Like, we're just going to pause for a little bit, and then we can eat if we still want to. But the magic in that is when you do the pause, right? When you really commit to that pause, a lot of times you don't want to eat, or you don't want to eat as much because you've given yourself that pause. You've checked back in and let your logical brain kind of come back online. And what we've just talked about today kind of comes back to you, where it's like, okay, I know why I want to binge right now. I've just got a lot going on. There's a lot of changes. I'm worried about this or that. And you can make sense of the binge in that pause, or the urge to binge in that pause. And then you can maybe not binge, binge less, but you're at least binging differently if you
Yeah.
end up eating because you paused there in the middle. Right. And this is where we've got to be patient with this process. And, we may still binge, but we're still doing it differently because we're putting some space in between the urge to binge and the binge. And, I've been talking a lot about wins on this call, right? Where it's like, we got to see that as a win, even if we do end up binging still. That
Okay.
is how I always say we have to keep binging to learn how not to binge.
True.
Because we gotta do it differently, sometimes in the middle there first, and then we down the line, we start to actually binge differently, or maybe not binge at all.
Okay.
Okay. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. This is such a great example of things going well,
Yeah.
and because I really want you to see that as super normal that these urges are coming back now,
Okay.
because it's not that, you're broken or, the unicorn, right? It is just because, like, your nervous system, it doesn't judge things as good or bad, right? It's just like something feels threatening, something feels, dangerous. And
Okay.
so it doesn't have the ability to say, well, actually, this is good for us. We're moving, or actually, my kid is, going to college or whatever it is, right? It's like all we know is something is different and we just want to keep you safe. Okay. So this is a really good example of that. And so that can help you just understand why these urges are there.
Okay.
And all right. All right.
Thank
Okay.
you.
All
Thank
right.
you.
See ya. All
All
right.
right.
Bye. Take you back down. Okay. All right. And Sue will finish this up. Yeah, we got a few more minutes, but I did want to share something that I saw in Ask Coaches. She may actually be on this call, or she might be listening to the replay. She is someone that I have worked with in the past, and she had put in a question to Ask Coaches, and she shared a poem from a poet named Rumi, Rumi, who is a poet I've been familiar with, and he just has some amazing poetry. But she, I will post the full poem in the chat if y'all want to like cut and paste it or whatever. But she saw this poem and it really reminded her about her urges to binge, kind of what I was talking about with Christine, where we want to welcome in urges to binge. Okay, so this poem is called The Guest House, and I'm going to read it to you real quick, and then I'll put it in the chat. And I'm just going to kind of offer you all a question to consider, and then we'll get to Sue. Okay. So, all right, let me make sure. Yeah, I got the chat going. So it is called The Guest House. This being human that we're doing here, is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the same, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. So I really want to offer you all to think about your urges to binge. How can they be a guide from beyond for you? I truly believe every urge to binge is a message, is some sort of guidance that we can welcome in. But what that means is that when we have an urge to binge, we got to be okay with it, right? We can't slam the door on it, because it is every single urge to binge is this amazing opportunity to check in with ourselves and to see what's going on and to see where we can get some guidance and to see how we can invite it in and get to know it a little bit better, just like we did with Christine. where, okay, how could this binge make sense? These urges to binge make sense. That was the one question I offered to her. And I want you all to keep it in your pocket as well. Anytime you get an urge to binge, even anytime you do binge, how could it make sense? Put that could in there because it may not feel doable to make sense of it quite yet, but just open yourself up to it because what we have to do to open ourselves up to it, to invite it in, is we got to put the shame aside for a minute, y'all. And what shuts us down from any kind of curiosity, from any kind of guidance or learning or love or curiosity, I say curiosity twice because I think it's so important, is shame. Shame just shuts it down. And that's when we keep binging. If we just make ourselves broken and wrong, we never get anywhere. We stay stuck. Okay. So that's what I want you all to do. And here is the do-do-do. Let's see if this works. There's the poem. So I just cut and pasted it into the chat. And it's called The Guest House. So you could even Google it and find it. Amy said her heart emoji is getting a workout. So good, good. I'm glad that you all are enjoying this. So all right, Miss Sue, let's finish up with you. And then we'll get out of here. I got one more private call tonight, a little bit later on.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
This is
Good
a
to hear
good call.
you. Good. What's going on?
I want to compliment both those ladies. I mean, their journeys are, so good, so good.
Yeah.
And as I was listening to Selma, I think it is, I just wanted to kind of say that this is such a time, it's like a time capsule kind of a thing. Because it just, we're evolving and this is what's happening, And I've really come to the understanding, I want to say the understanding. And I wrote it down here that my weight loss journey is building the person that I am becoming, my future. And so, I had wrote here, because the scale's been kind of a thing here for me for a little bit, but just to put things into kind of perspective here, in June of 2018, my weight was at 298, and my high number is 305, and I was holding about 250 for a number of years, and then I had a knee replacement. So it popped up in that 50 pounds. And in this past year, this morning, I got on the scale and it was 278.1. And from the beginning of the year, I started the year off at 276.9. So I'm maintaining, even though I have been working. Doing all these tweaks and pivots and all this kind of stuff, the actual body weight hasn't done very much, but the person that I have become, I always thought losing the weight was going to be the catalyst for me to be the different person. And what I'm finding out, it has been flip-flopped
It's the
on
other
me.
way.
It is truly the other way.
Yes.
And even though, it's been 8 years since I've been on this journey and that stuff, and I'm getting down there, but it's about understanding I am understanding that it is about the priorities of what's more important. And when you were talking about that self-love
course.
Yeah.
When I started in NoBS in the end of 22, I was basically, I had such a weak foundation as a person, you know, a personal thing. I mean, I was able, I've raised a family, I'm married for all these years, and I'm able to do all these kind of things. But when it came to me, I really didn't have any oxygen going on inside. I didn't have that foundation, you know, all of these years. And so, you know, I spent all of these years beating myself up over it. But now that, you know, through no BS, I've learned it's my emotions, which I've worked very hard at, you know, getting to understand what they even are. I've got a little wall hanging to explain to me. I mean, I know what joy is and I know what this is and that is, but there were so many other emotions that I didn't know how to label, you know, and where they go. So to be able to find that and to understand thought work, really? You know, I'm supposed to be talking to myself. I thought crazy people talk to themselves, you know. I thought those were the people
Well,
walking down the street that had issues.
us too, right? I mean,
Well,
it works.
I became crazy because I didn't talk to myself,
Well, once
because there
again, kind of right? It's kind of flipped.
it absolutely was flipped, you
Yes.
know. And then learning my self-esteem and you know, being able to regain movement after all this time. And you know, from the very beginning, I didn't want to do a food plan. I'm not writing anything down. Well, I'm still not like a food plan maker on paper, but I am now in my head. My choices are so much better. I do write afterwards because I don't remember otherwise, you know, so I do write it down and everything. And so I
You're
have been
thinking before you're eating, right? That's what we talk
absolutely.
about, right?
Absolutely. And the whole time with all of this back here, that's kind of kept me, well, I want to say more of a in a maintenance kind of a place, but there was me being the scientist, me figuring out what works, what doesn't work, and just changing my ways of doing something. But the biggest thing I want to say this evening that I am the wind that I absolutely am recognizing is my inner resilience. You know, that I am becoming every day stronger with my Teflon. You know, that I never had before. I always took everything personal. I always, you know, if they're beating me up, it was okay that if I, you know, beat myself up in that. And then through all of this coaching, you guys told me no, it wasn't okay. You know, I had to learn and teach myself step by step. I mean, the first day you said that, it didn't change. The 10th time it didn't change. You know,
But you
I mean,
kept going.
I'm 3 years, 4 years, whatever into this and that stuff, and it changed. The shift happened, and you know, when I before I leave my bed in the morning, I have some. When before I understood what self-love was, I knew my problem was that gap. The night before I would go to bed, and I was in desperate conversation with God that, please, God, remove this from me, take this from me. And I'm going to make this plan and that plan, and I'm going to do this, and I'm ready to get up in the morning. And I get up in the morning, and before I even knew it, as soon as I put my feet on those floor, I was back in old routine, even though night after night after night, I was in that gap. And that one day that it happened before I was getting up and before my feet touched the floor, it was like, I'm in the gap. This is where I'm at. And just that recognition of what my brain was doing. So, but this morning when I got up, the first thing I said was something encouraging and positive to myself, you know, and all of this, these tools, these strategies, all of these things that I am learning from this group, from, you know, other mentors and that stuff, is creating a new me.
Yes. And actually, you answered my question, and I had a question for you, and you answered it because isn't it funny, right? Where we have all these very you gave me all these very specific numbers, right? I was at this weight before, and then I was at this weight, and then I gained, and I was at this weight, right? And then you talked about how it's, I've got to be becoming a different person. And my question was going to be, all right, what, right? What does that mean, right? For you to be, to be a different person or be becoming a different person, how do you show up? How do you think? How do you feel? And you answer that. And I'm glad we recorded this because you can even go back and if you don't have a list, you can make the list because you listed out all of the ways that you are becoming. That will then create the outcome of weight loss eventually, right? I mean, along with lots of other outcomes in life that you want. But that's the thing. I think we think, we do it backwards, right? We think, well, we got to get the weight loss first, and then, my life, I'll just become who I want to become. No, it's the other way around. And then we're losing weight along the way. But you gave some very, very specific ways that you talked about priorities, right? Like we have to prioritize our, increasing our emotional vocabulary, the fancy word for basically knowing our feelings and practicing feeling our feelings, right? Getting aware of these stories we're telling ourselves that it's okay for people to, walk over me, right? And then we got to show up in a different way, day after day, until we, believe these things about us. And like you said, the first time, maybe not, the 10th time, maybe not. But the number one thing, the number one priority we all need to have is this resilience to keep going. To keep going. Y'all, what is the alternative to keeping to just, are we quitting? Are we just going to go back to, are we going to go and try another diet? We've done that already, right? We gotta just keep going. We gotta just keep going, and it will happen.
You know, it's funny because I was talking with my brother. I says, "You know what?" Because of course he's a lean machine, you know, and he's like, "Oh man," and that kind of stuff. And he says, "Every time I'm talking to you, you're eating," and that kind of stuff. I says, "You know what? The funny thing is, senior moment,
Okay.
Sam. It took off. It took off. But I know I do want to say this one thing, is that'll probably come back. But all of these numbers and everything, what I'm newly finding out is they were carrying so much heaviness. 1 pound doesn't sound like very much. It's like, you know, you got 1 pound, and I'm, you know, was just shifting it back around. But emotionally, it had so much heaviness, you know, and I keep having like these kind of thoughts. It's like the butterfly, open up your hand, you know, and let the butterfly go. Let that 1 pound go. And if, you know, whatever's supposed to return in your hand will return the, you know, with love and everything. So, yeah, I can't say enough about any of this. And I mean, I'm so pleased to be me, and I'm so glad to meet me. You know, it's such a whole a huge thing,
Oh,
you
yeah.
know.
I love that, Sue. All right. Well, the thing that you forgot about your brother, is it your brother? Or no, your
Yeah.
husband.
No, it's
Post
about
that
my
in the
brother.
post it in the Facebook group, okay, when you remember.
I will. Oh, and one other thing, the postings that I've been doing lately, I've been kind of putting a date with them and that stuff. And that's so when I look back, it's kind of like a journal of thing. You
Yeah,
know, so it's like when
keep
I look back,
going.
I see it and it was like, oh, you
I
know.
love it. I love it. Keep going with that. And
So thank you for
because
taking my call.
yes. And I did do a little video response for you on one of your posts. So if you
Oh,
hadn't seen that
okay.
yet, check that out.
No, I hadn't.
Yeah, and let me know kind of your thoughts on that. I don't even remember what I said, but it was good.
Okay, I will
All
check it
right.
out, definitely.
All
So,
right.
good
See
night,
you
everyone.
soon. All
All
right.
right, absolutely.
Bye. I love me some Sue at the end of a lot of my calls. All right. Well, this has been such a great call, y'all. Thank y'all so much for hanging with me. Thank you so much for raising your hand and having the courage to do that. Those of you all who did, thank you so much for listening and just taking in what you wanted to take in. I'm proud of you for that. Those of you on the replay, I'm proud of you for listening to the replay and seeing what you can take in. Okay, so just think of one little thing that you can do maybe to get to know yourself a little bit better, to meet yourself, like Sue said. Okay, because that's what this is about, learning to love and be with ourselves. And that can really help us. All right. That's what I got for y'all tonight. Great call. And y'all are going to see a lot of me in the next week or so. I believe I am doing the How to Lose 5 Pounds call, I think on Friday. And then y'all will see me again next Tuesday. I am doing the nighttime eating call on Tuesday night. I don't know if I've ever done that call or I haven't done it in a long time. So I'm super excited about that because I love doing these member calls. So I will see you all then and see you all around the rest of the membership too. Okay. Take care. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.